Greetings, Hoopsheads. You're listening to a joint session of Locked On Spurs and Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're getting ready for some playoff basketball Saturday, noon at Oracle Arena in Oakland. The Spurs will face off against the Warriors in the NBA's first round. You've got me, Aliko Carter, host of Locked On Warriors, and Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs, here to give you all the details. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I think it's about time that we get these playoffs on the get going, because you know every day, every minute that passes during this little break, it feels like an eternity. We got to get some hoops going, and we're talking about the playoffs here. First round, Spurs Warriors meeting up once again in the postseason. They ended their postseason together, at least the Spurs did, and now they're going to start it up again, facing a familiar foe. I'm glad to see these two hook up. Just a shame they've never gone at each other full strength.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, that 2012-2013 season, the Warriors weren't who they are now. And then Steph got hurt. And then, of course, last year with the Zaza coming under Kawhi's foot, that definitely derailed that series for the Spurs, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, Spurs fans out there who really feel like he might have that Zaza, that is, might have just, you know, started a downward spiral for Kawhi. And so that brings me to my first question, man. Like, do you expect Kawhi to come back this, you know, for the playoffs?
Not at all, nor should you, nor should Spurs fans, nor should Warriors fans. Look, this divide, allegedly, between the Spurs and Kawhi is pretty large. Everybody knows about Tony Parker and his comments towards the end of the season regarding his injury versus Kawhi and how he was able to come back and it was 10 times or 100 times worse than Kawhi. He got a lot of pushback for that. Then you have the report that the Spurs had a very tense meeting between players and Kawhi via ESPN. And although the Spurs did admit that that did happen, Danny Green did say that it wasn't just about Kawhi, it was other things as well. But then on the other hand, you got Manu Ginobili calling out Kawhi, and I'm surprised he didn't get a lot of pushback as much as Parker did, but saying that he's never around, that he's much more around with other people than he is with the team, and he's non-existent, and that he wishes he was there. So there's something there. There's something brewing. This offseason is going to be interesting, but as far as this series is concerned, nope. Do not expect him to come back. He's not walking through that tunnel. He's not putting on that silver and black jersey as of now, and just find it very interesting that the Spurs have not called it a season for him. They still have him game to game under injury management. And
yeah, what do you think maybe that's all about, Jeff?
I think they're crossing fingers. I think they're hoping that his camp, and I recall, the Spurs doctors have said that he's good to go. Kawhi's doctors outside the Spurs system have said he's not good to go. So it's come to the point where Popovich has flat out said that Kawhi will come back when his group says he'll come back. It's that bad. Mm. So
yeah,
it's interesting to see this pushing and pulling and back and forth between the two sides. And as much as Kawhi Leonard has said that he does want to remain a Spur in the last media he did last season, it's interesting that he has not come back and talked to the media, or at least made some sort of statement. It doesn't have to be in person. He can just release a statement, an email, a fax, something, just to say that he's okay, that he legitimately is all right, and that he is going to be back with the Spurs stronger than ever next season. But he's not doing that. And we'll definitely find out this season if he'd sign what the Spurs are expected to do and offer him that Supermax deal. Yeah, so as far as this season is concerned, I think you're Warriors too. They were had a session today or yesterday saying they're not expecting Kawhi to come back, from Draymond to Kerr and everybody else. I think everybody in the world is on the same page. Kawhi's not walking through that door anytime soon.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, it, you know, it's one of those things where you expect his publicist to be kind of pushing him to do certain things. But, you know, I got to wonder about his mental well-being. Just basketball was his entire life, and this might be the first time in his life that he just can't play basketball. And I just imagine that that's got to be weighing on him and his psyche a little bit. But that's still no excuse for, you know, potentially fomenting some bad will in the locker room, you know, you expect a leader of former finals MVP to be a little bit more vocal. And so, you know, I just have to wonder about his, you know, just how he's feeling just in this first time in his life, just not being able to play basketball. But you know who is able to play basketball is LaMarcus Aldridge. And man, has he been a monster for you the entire year. And, you know, go into how important he's been, please.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to begin. I mean, other than to say that, wow, talk about a turnaround from last season to this season. LMA has been that rock for the Spurs on the offensive end and to some degree the defensive end. Without him posting the big numbers that he has this season, the Spurs are not in the postseason. If he's not posting those monster numbers, the Spurs are looking at their summer vacation right now, and the Spurs are already game planning for the NBA draft. It's interesting to see how much of a turnaround he's come, especially off an off season where he demanded a trade that he did not want to be a Spur, and that he just thought he was not fitting in well with the team. So a complete 180. He was tabbed an NBA All-Star again, and without LMA, I think the Spurs simply are just a ship without a rudder. This Spurs team just pretty much go as much as LaMarcus has gone. And it was enough to get them into the postseason. It was enough to get them a very good home record. And it was enough to at least have some sort of threat on the court without Kawhi Leonard in uniform. But nonetheless, Aldridge deserves a round of applause. He is this team's MVP. And what more can I say other than he's, unfortunately, though, he's going to have to step up his game even more so against your Warriors. So LMA is going to have a lot to shoulder starting Saturday.
Yeah, unfortunately, definitely. You know, I mean, a lot of players, they relish that challenge. But you're absolutely right. Without LaMarcus Aldridge, where would you be? And the meaning of the term MVP definitely applies here. But, you know, the Warriors are without, you know, their most important player, obviously the Spurs without their most important player. But Kevin Durant is still probably the best scorer in the league. Definitely one of the top three or four best basketball players in the league. And he's going to be extremely important as a foil for LaMarcus Aldridge, just in terms of not going up against each other, but matching and trying to exceed each other's numbers. The Warriors are going to need Kevin Durant to be just extremely, extremely versatile. They're going to need him to score more than the 26 points he scored during the regular season. They're going to need him to rebound at a higher rate, to assist the ball at a higher rate. They're going to need him to be the best player, not just on the floor, but in the league without Stephen Curry. And it's just really one of those things that I think that he relishes a little bit being the man. So we'll see how that goes in the first round.
Yeah. You know, what is interesting about KD, though, is he is definitely, you know, the main guy because of the fact that you're not going to have Steph Curry. And that leads me to ask you, is KD can do it all, but he's going to need help. But that help's going to come in the form of Quinn Cook. I mean, your Warriors team are going to roll with Cook. I mean, I guess they have no choice. But how much faith do you have in this kid?
Exactly. You know, I have a lot of faith in him. The only player in G League history to do 50-40-90, he scored 26 points in the G League this year, came on for the big club, and scored in double figures in so many games, including a career high like 31 points a few weeks ago. The man can flat out score the basketball. He has an array of moves. He's very good shooting the three-pointer, extremely confident, and extremely efficient. And on the defensive end, he's a small guy, but he moves his feet. You know, honestly, he might move his feet better than Steph moves his feet. Steph definitely has better hands than Quinn Cook, but if you look at him playing defense against players, you know, and you see his footwork, it's just like, oh, man, he's been playing basketball for a long time. This guy really belongs. So I definitely have faith in him, but it's going to be a team effort. Draymond Green is going to have to be the second best player on the team, and Klay Thompson is going to have to shoot the lights out. So that those are two very important things. But if you're talking specifically about Quinn Cook, then I absolutely have faith He's got ice water in his veins, man. He's just out there ready to play. Obviously, he's going to be playing against DeJounte Murray, who's rangy, extremely versatile, and can, you know, be a pest on defense. He's kind of like a Kawhi light defensively in terms of his length and everything like that. But Quinn Cook doesn't turn the ball over. So I'm not really worried too much about him from a ball, you know, protection standpoint. It's really, will his shots fall? Because we need them to.
Look, just face it, you brought it up, but NBA playoffs in a whole different level. Going against a Spurs team that is full of championship pedigree. They got a guy on the sideline by the name of Popovich who's definitely going to try to exploit that. And look, there's nothing to knock or take away from Cook. I mean, I tip my hat at him for, you know, the endurance and for the perseverance and for making it as far as he has him to be starting point guard on the NBA, on the defending NBA champs. That's a testament to him. But Murray's there, and, you know, he may be a young guy, but he has 1 year up on him. They got other guys, Patty Mills and Danny Green. You know, they're gonna throw different looks at Cook. And, you know, as much as he's done and he's proven in the regular season, and he's proven a lot, I think he's got a different animal. And I think maybe that first game is going to be the really, real, real good litmus test to see exactly where he stands. He's going to be able to handle it. But I'm pretty sure Kerr is going to have him pumped and ready.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And we're going to have to take a quick break for our sponsors. We'll be back. And we're back, and we're talking Spurs and Warriors. It's Locked On Warriors and Locked On Spurs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I wanted to ask you, Jeff, what are the Spurs going to have to do to beat this juggernaut Warriors team? Obviously without Stephen Curry, but healthy otherwise. And just, you know, ready to, you know, take on whoever's in front of them.
Well, let me get my massive telephone book sized Rolodex and start off with chapter one. It's that the Spurs have a laundry list of things they have to do in order to dethrone the NBA champs. Look, at the end of the day, I think the, you know, I'll get into specifics right now, but I think the Spurs have more of a to-do list than the Warriors do. The Spurs have to do a lot more, not only just in game one this Saturday, but just in the series overall. LMA is going to have to up his game. The Spurs are going to have to cut back on turnovers. They cannot give this Warriors team easy buckets. And I think they're going to have to try to expose this, the Warriors' lack of size. Yes, I know McGee is there. I know Zaza is there. But at the end of the day, the Spurs have a better skilled big men. I'm looking at LMA, Pau Gasol, and to some degree, Davis Bertans. Look, LaMarcus is going to be the focal point for the Spurs, and we know already, something of genius, the Warriors are going to double, triple team him and tell him and the Spurs, hey, let's see who else can score. And I'm looking at Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol is going to have to really get down and dirty in that paint, rebound, block some shots, and hit the occasional outside shot, three-point shot. He's one of the better three-point shooting big men we have in this league. And then there's Davis Bertans. This kid is a firecracker. He's not afraid to get in players' faces. Ask Greg Monroe. No joke. A couple seasons ago, he shoved the big man in the chest simply for just pushing his former teammate, Deadman. And he's not afraid to mix it up, but he also can light it up. He can light it up from deep. He is he's young. He's quick. He's agile. But if his shot is going down, then that should open up the floor and the paint for LaMarcus to do what he has to do, and that is be that rock for the Spurs on the offensive end. But other than that, I think the Spurs, as I said to you before we recorded this, I think the pressure is more on the Warriors. I think the Spurs, at the end of the day, should they get bounced, they can just simply say, well, what do you expect? You know, we don't have Kawhi. They're the defending champs. They have home court. You know, we're 7th seed. We're not supposed to even be here beyond this round. But at the end of the day, I think the Spurs have to play 48 minutes of perfect basketball. Everybody who steps on that court needs to contribute on both ends of the court. Everybody has to make that extra pass. Everybody has to play like the Spurs played in 2014 against Miami in the NBA Finals. I mean, it's going to take that type of work. Spurs can do it, but They got to put points on the board. They don't have the horses to do that. They got the defense to do that. The regular season proved it. Number one in opponent's points per game. They ranked up there with blocks and opponent field goal percentage, 3 points. They got the defense, and that's great. But the Warriors can play defense as well. And the Warriors can light up the scoreboard, even if they don't have Steph Curry. So the Spurs can lock it down on the off the defensive end, but on the offensive end, there has not been that second scorer outside of LaMarcus Aldridge. Let me rephrase that. Reliable scorer outside of LaMarcus Aldridge.
Sure, sure.
Rudy Gay is going to have to do that. This is just going to be by committee, I think. Everybody's going to have to just step up their game. The Spurs are not talented, and I'm not the only one who said that. Manu Ginobili said it. This is a team that's not talented whatsoever, but they are talented defensively. Defense wins titles. Defense wins games. The Spurs are going to have to rely on that. And as you can tell, I'm just going on and on because there's just so much the Spurs have to do. Unlike the Warriors, who just got to do a few things here and there, they should be okay.
Yeah, I think it's two things, Jeff. I think it's two things. It's not turning the ball over, and it's rebounding the ball, making sure that the team is rebounding by committee. You got to have Kevin Durant in there grabbing rebounds, getting 9 to 10 rebounds. Draymond Green getting 9 to 10 rebounds. Everybody else, rebounding at the guard position is going to be huge. Klay Thompson is going to have to rebound the ball. Quinn Cook is going to have to rebound the ball. And then by committee, the bigs. You know, you're probably going to see a lot of JaVale McGee and Kevon Looney. I don't know who's going to start. It might be Zaza, but it might not be. And we have a lot of good bigs that can go up against LaMarcus. They're going to work together to neutralize LaMarcus Aldridge. Definitely David West, you're going to see him for 15 to 20 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be huge on and he's going to be huge on both ends. But the Warriors can't turn the ball over, and if they do turn the ball over, they have to get back in transition. Live ball turnovers are murder, but if they happen, the Warriors can't take the play off. They can't complain to the referee. They have to be in the frame with the running Spurs. And here's the thing. Without Stephen Curry, the game's slows down. So the Warriors play at a league average pace as opposed to a top five pace with Stephen Curry in the game. So you're not going to see as many fast break opportunities. But what you are going to see is a keyed in defense that is going to, oh man, I can't wait to bust this lineup out in the playoffs. The lineup of Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and David West. One of the best defensive lineups in the league. You're going to see that lineup. It's deadly. It's deadly. And then you've got Klay Thompson, the nuclear weapon on the offensive end. Draymond Green seeing everybody. Andre Iguodala seeing everybody. David West, money, 60%+ from the field. And, I mean, you get Sean Livingston in his office, and he just goes to business. But, you know, I just think that the defense is going to have to be there every single moment. And the Warriors had a Jekyll and Hyde kind of situation where they would play a top five defense one game, and then they would play a bottom 20 defense the next game. And they are able to play a top five defense at all times, but it just wasn't there every game this season. And that's where they ended up ninth in the league in defensive efficiency after being one of the top two or three teams the last 3 years. And so I think what you're going to see is a top five defense from the Warriors in the playoffs. And if they do that and they keep the turnovers below about 15 in the game, they'll have a chance to hopefully, you know, get out without sweating too much.
Yeah, that goes for the Spurs as well. As I mentioned, the Spurs cannot give crap points to your Warriors. You know, they struggle with that the entire regular season. They've had games where, I'm not kidding, it's upwards of 20 turnovers a game. It's that bad.
Mm.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, the Warriors have had those too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. And as much as I, you know, harped on, you know, 48 minutes of excellent basketball and this and that and turnovers and Powell and Bertans, there's something about the road that just does not mix well with San Antonio. And at the end of the day, that may doom the Spurs. This Spurs team.
Yeah, what's that all about? You guys were not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were not great on the road at all.
That's putting it lightly. They were atrocious on the road. More or less, the Spurs at home averaged about 96 points per game allowed. On the road, they allowed about 110. Their plus minus dipped on the road. They were only mustered up 14 wins away from the Alamo City. That's it. Their NBA record of 18 consecutive winning road seasons was snapped this past season. They
destroyed.
It was just a hex. It was destroyed. Yeah, exactly. It was just smashed up. They didn't miss it by one or two. They only had 14 road victories. And even at that, they were a struggle. So with the Warriors having that crowd that they do in Oracle, and it's loud, that's putting it lightly, it's pretty active. And I believe the Warriors feed on that crowd, and the Spurs are just horrendous on the road. And you're going to tell the Spurs, you got to win one game in Oracle. But by the way, you guys suck on the road, so good luck. And you got to try to do it on their home court. Just a tall task for the Spurs. Not to say they can't do it. They just didn't leave me feeling with confidence that they can do it based on what we saw in the regular season. So if it comes down to a seventh and decisive game, it's over.
Well, you know, it's seventh game, you know, definitely I give the nod to the Warriors, certainly. But the Warriors were not, you know, 29-12 on the road, 29-12 at home. But if you recall, a couple of seasons ago, the Warriors went 39-2 at home on the way to 73 wins for the season. And so 29-12 is a little bit pedestrian, and they lost some really, really bad games at home, games to the Sacramento Kings, the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are a good team, but, you know, there's a ton of teams that have come in to Oracle and just beaten the Warriors. Not close games, but just thumped them. And so, you know, do I expect things to be different in the playoffs? I absolutely do. I expect the crowd to be more raucous. I expect the Warriors to be more locked in. I expect them to behave like every single possession matters and use that home court to fuel their offense. But I will say the Warriors haven't been as good at home as they have in years past. And I think that there's a little crack in that door that's open for the Spurs to steal one in Oracle.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that it does happen, because I would like to see a very lengthy playoff series. And so I do hope, you know, the Spurs pick up one or two on the road. But it's just at the end of the day, I think that it's just going to bite them in the butt, and you know, it's going to come back to haunt them. And that's what I think will ultimately doom the Spurs. They can play perfect basketball at home all they want, but they got to win on the road eventually. And this past season didn't leave me with confidence that they can get it done. You know, when I look at this Warriors squad, though, Ligo, I got to ask you about Iggy. I mean, how crucial has he been for this Warriors team?
Well, yeah, he's been absolutely important. He does a little bit of everything for the Warriors. I would call him a calming presence on the court. His assist to turnover ratio is always extremely high. He led the league a few years ago. This year, he hasn't been quite the same. And it feels like right now they're kind of just like resting him for the playoffs, giving him a lot of DNP olds, you know, in the Popovichian sense, and getting him ready to be the force that, you know, we know he can be, especially on the defensive end, guarding the other team's, you know, really big perimeter threat, you know, along with Klay Thompson, and also just bringing some steadiness to the offense. He always makes such good decisions, whether it's passing in the fast break or taking it all the way, and he has such unorthodox ways of getting to the rim. If his shot is falling, it's money. If his shot is falling, we love everything about Andre. If his shot is not falling, we'll take it. We'll take it because everything else that he brings is so, so important.
You know, before we recorded, you mentioned to me that you don't like the word glue guy. And, you know, they use that a lot with Draymond. And, you know, is it really maybe that Iggy is the one that makes this team run? I mean, how would you define that or describe it?
Yeah, definitely an engine. Definitely, like, glue guy, I think, is reserved for less important players than Draymond Green. Draymond Green is arguably, the second most important player on the team behind Stephen Curry and ahead of Kevin Durant. I made that argument in an article for Bleacher Report back in November, very early in the season. But he does everything for the Warriors, whether it's anchoring the defense. And if you look at, like, obviously Kevin Durant got significant DPOY consideration in the middle of the season. He was blocking shots out of the arena. It was great. You look at the tape, Draymond's still better. Draymond guards every single position. Draymond just barks orders. He's always in the right place defensively. He didn't defend at the rim at the same high rate that he has in seasons past, but it was still very good to elite. And I'll just, you know, I could go on about what Draymond does on the defensive end so much, but he also leads the team in assists. And people don't realize that. We lead the league in assists, and Draymond leads the Warriors in assists. He assisted the ball about 7.1 times a game. He averaged more than 7 rebounds and 11 points. And if you look at the scope of his numbers, it's like, oh, that's kind of impressive. It's not that impressive. Is he really an all-star? Oh, my goodness. Such an all-star. Without Draymond, the Warriors' defense plummets and the offense stagnates. With Draymond, everything purrs. Everything hums. And so what he is more than a glue guy. He's a heartbeat. And I wanted to ask you specifically, because we were talking about this earlier, you know, your heartbeat might just be Manu Ginobili.
Oh, it definitely is, and then some. Look, this Spurs team owes a few games, W's, that is, to number 20. The old man still has it. 40 years old and still showing life in those legs. He's been there when the Spurs are down on the scoreboard and maybe emotionally. He's been there for the Spurs when they needed a boost off that bench. He's still knocking down shots. He's still going left. And after 16 seasons in the NBA, nobody can still figure out that if he's going left, you're in trouble. And he's Euro-stepping all over the world to get the court. And he has just been a great, great, great boost of this Spurs team, especially in the season that they had ups and downs and, you know, more downs than ups and the Kawhi drama. And, you know, remember, Aliko, this team at one point during the regular season was out of the playoff picture completely. They were not, it was to the point where that 21 consecutive playoff appearances was about to be snapped. But Manu Ginobili came in and he was not having any of that. He was honest this whole season when it comes to the Kawhi situation, to the makeup of the team. He called out the team left and right when they were at their low points. And he even said during the regular season that he's never in his 16th season with the Spurs had to go through what he's going through this year, and where he would call out the younger players for not stepping up for the game. He's been that leader for the Spurs. He's been that quiet leader for San Antonio this season. Fortunately for
Silver
and Black, he decided to stay. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Is he the second most important player for the Spurs this season then?
My goodness. Woo-wee. Well, let's see. Let me think about that. That is a phenomenal question. Yeah, I may have to say it. Yeah, I think he is. You look at, I mean, just everything what he's done for this team. It doesn't have to be the numbers. He can just him being a force on that bench is good enough. DeJounte Murray sang his praises throughout the season, saying, you know, he's an inspiration that he's on that bench cheering for Manu every time that he does another Manu thing. And I would have to say yes, but not simply because the numbers, but the numbers are there. They're still pretty good for a 40-year-old six-man, but because of the inspiration that he brought to this team, and he continues to do it. And they're going to need that in the postseason, especially going up against the defending champ. So, yeah, I would have to say it's just a shame that there's the second-best player on this team is just in New York City right now, and you know his camp not letting him come back. But, yeah, Manu Ginobili, I would have to say, has been the second-best player for the Spurs overall, from an emotional, mental standpoint, and even on the statistical level.
All right. Well, I will hold you to that. You said it. No, but I definitely, you know, I think you're right. I've seen the Spurs play a number of times this season, and just, you know, he's like akin to Andre in that he brings the steadiness to the Spurs on offense. He's still at 40, can play defense. He's not a liability. And he's just really awesome. But, you know, I wanted to get to, predictions because, you know, it wouldn't be a playoff preview without a little prediction. So, I wanted to ask you first, what are your thoughts about this series?
Okay, well, I'm going to get the prediction out of the way first. Let me get the hard part done. I think a gentleman's sweep. I think the Spurs will get one, but at the end of the day, it'll be a five-game series. Why? Simply because what I said during this preview show, the road issues this team has, they got the defense, they struggle on offense, and that home court advantage is going to play well into the Warriors' hand. And I think, as I mentioned, the Spurs have more of a to-do list than the Warriors do. Would I be shocked if the Spurs dethrone the NBA champs? To a certain degree, I would, as they playing without Kawhi Leonard. And that
hey, Spurs going
also
Spurs.
Shocked me knowing
that's...
Yeah, exactly. What is it, Aliko?
Spurs going Spurs, man.
Spurs. Yeah.
Death, taxes, and Spurs. That's right. Yeah, I recall, 20 years of going to the Alamo City, going to the AT&T Center, and losing. That's what the Warriors did. The entirety of the Tim Duncan era was just losing. So, you know, it is yeah. What it is. Now the Warriors are a little bit more powerful than they were back then. But the Spurs are still here.
Just a little. Just a little more powerful. Mega powerful.
I would absolutely agree. Yeah. I think gentleman sweep is exactly right. I think that the Spurs are too good to get swept. Though that, you know, that last year series, Steph was playing. I think without Steph and Curry in this matchup, the Spurs are too good to get swept. I think you win one in San Antonio, and I think the Spurs close it out at home in game five.
And if the Spurs do that, I tip my hats off for them, especially the season that they've had. The ups and downs, the dramas I mentioned, and to simply just get one game. You know, I think Vegas odds have the Spurs, 90-1, something along those lines to advance. It's pretty bad. I mean, nobody has confidence this team can move past the first round. But if they do, I'd be a little shocked. I'd be a little surprised. They would tell me like everything had to fall into place. And Patty Mills knocking down threes consistently. Rudy Gay playing at the level he's playing before the regular season. It, LMA up in his game. Brent Forbes knocking shots down. Danny Green locking down players. I mean, everything has to come together. Popovich is going to have to reach deep into that bag of tricks. And I think gentleman's sweep is about right. And we'll see, though. And it starts everything Saturday. Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. And a lot of these guys, young guys on the Warriors, about to get their first or second taste of playoff experience as well. Quinn Cook, Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, all will see good minutes. And, you know, it's just fun. The playoffs are here, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck to your Spurs on Saturday.
Yeah, good luck to your team as well. And it's going to make for a great series. Is the Warriors Spurs game the first game to kick things off Saturday, or we're
it is out? The it is the very first game, noon Pacific on ABC.
So our teams are going to kick things off. All right, so I apologize on the Spurs' behalf if the game's lopsided. So already,
I apologize on the Warriors' behalf if we crap the bed. But you know, stranger things have happened. So anyway, you've been listening to the joint session of Locked On Spurs and Locked On Warriors. Stay thoughtful, Hoopheads.